It's a great day for a podcast. Once again, here he is, John Oakley.
I ain't going to work today.
Yeah, why not?
Because I'd rather work on breaking my own bones with some style, you know.
Go. What a way to introduce hour two. You know, it was a toss-up. Michael Downey was choosing Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne, but Corey and I chose this song instead to introduce.
How dare you?
I gotta throw you under the bus, even though you're not on a skateboard, but our first guest in hour two.
You're destroying my punk cred on the world stage!
I really am, aren't I? Over and over and over again, actually. It's almost
going to have me in a suit and tie by the end of this.
It's a habit. It's a chronic thing that happens on this program. We pitch you under the 18-wheeler, which, by the way, is something that you want to be mindful of if you're planning to skateboard across Canada or America, as the case was with Chad Caruso, the intrepid skateboarder. He actually skated and set a world record, a Guinness Book of Records record, 57 days crossing America from Venice Beach to Virginia Beach, and he's here to tell us all about the ordeal. Chad, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're all right, but I'm guessing, you know, after 57 days on a skateboard traversing America, you might have had some problems. I mean, tell us, first of all, what motivated you to do this? Did you have a plan?
Yeah, I mapped out some stuff, like, you know, the route roughly, but I kind of figured things out as I went. And yeah, that just seemed like a cool experience to me, so went for it.
Okay, so you just got on the skateboard at Venice Beach in California and you took to the roads. Where were you planning to, I mean, the route that you sort of marked out, did you stay true to the route?
Pretty much, yeah. Sometimes I was led to dirt roads or things like that, so I had to figure it out on the fly. But for the most part, I stayed on it.
Now, did you have it set in your mind that you were going to break or challenge the Guinness World Record for skateboarding across America? I didn't know if anyone existed prior to your doing it.
Yeah, there was no real official record set. So once I saw that, it kind of motivated me to just, you know, set it myself.
You did in 57 days. I mean, what was it like on the road in that 57 days? Did it go fast or did it seem like an eternity?
It went in waves in the beginning. It was like going quick, all the excitement and everything. And then naturally towards the middle, you know, where you're not close to the beginning or the end, it's just like kind of drags on, you know? And then towards the end, the days went by quicker.
So where were the real challenges? What were the difficulties?
Well, first was just adapting my body to everything, like skating up giant hills that have never been skateboarded up before. You know, just my body had to adjust, lots of shin splints, pain in my feet, stuff like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, the physical stuff. What about the board itself? How often did you have to replace the wheels or service the board?
So, funny thing, I used the same board all 57 days across the whole country. Didn't change the wheels, bearings, nothing.
Wow, you should become a spokesperson. This sounds like it was pretty good equipment. But there were some other challenges like food and lodging and so on and so forth. How'd you manage that?
So, with the hotels, I would just, each day, that would be my goal. That's where I would sit, where I'd finish. So, I'd look to see where the closest hotel was. So if there wasn't one for 80 miles, I'd have to skate 80 miles, you know, and I'd just kind of figure it out that way.
So as you're crossing Death Valley in Southern California or going across Arizona, you just had to sort it out. Sign said next hotel, 400 miles. You'd say, hey, I got to skate it, right? Or would you just nap by the side of the road?
Yeah, so I went through some stretches that were like over 120 miles, no cell service, no food, gas, like nothing, you know, and I would plan everything out. Maybe I'd skate 70 miles and then I'd have a driver just meet me at a random time. And hopefully I'm at that point, pick me up, drive me back to the hotel. I'd like clock out of my location, you know, officially for like Guinness. And then I'd show back up there in the morning.
So did you have support then, as a support vehicle?
I did it all completely solo, just me in a backpack, but you know, people like people that were watching would show up and bring me food, water, things like that. Yeah. And like I just said, someone to pick me up at the end of a day when I clock out of my, you know, mileage for the day.
I see.
To take me to. Yeah.
Chad, what was in the backpack?
So I kept it pretty minimal because you're going to have a lot of weight on your back, you know, across the country. So it was just one outfit, which I ended up losing. Just threw it away because it was too heavy after a while. Toothbrush, deodorant, flashlight, just the basics, really.
What did you say, deodorant?
Deodorant, yeah, skate tool, really minimal, not too much in there.
I was going to say, if you're logging, you know, 100 miles a day on a skateboard, you'd want deodorant for sure. Again, Chad Caruso's yeah. with us, intrepid skateboarder. He crossed America on a skateboard in 57 days and set a Guinness Book of Records record. By the way, this wasn't easy for you. You've got some physical, I guess, injuries over the years that might have been aggravated by this ordeal.
Yeah, I have, well, just my knees alone, I've tore my ACL, PCL, MCL, a few different meniscus tears all on the same knee. And before I left for this trip, I was dealing with a re-tear of both meniscus. But, yeah, I wasn't really sure, honestly. That was the main thing I thought would hold me back. I knew I could persevere any challenges, like over any challenges I faced, but that was the only one that scared me, really.
What about crossing mountains? I mean, that had to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, but as long as you just keep going, you'll figure it out. You know what I mean? The knee thing is something that could, like, sideline you, you know?
Yeah, so you get, like, in this zen-like condition where you're just sort of at one and at peace with the world and nature and your mission, you're bored. But, you know, when there's a lot of traffic, I know cyclists are always wary of this when they're going on treks, you know, whether it's cross country or limited, what there are a lot of 18-wheelers blowing by and the wind can knock you ass over tea kettle. Cars may be distracted, you know, they sway off the road. Anything like that happen to you?
Yeah, I've had some close calls for sure. They're trucks brushing up right next to me, or on the last day, like 2 hours from the finish, car was kind of veering towards me on the shoulder and I had to jump off my board. But for the most part, when I'm on the shoulder, I try to make myself as seen as possible. So even if that's me like blocking the traffic and getting in the lane, I'll do that. But just to make sure I'm seen, you know?
So Chad, the car veering towards you, what happened there? Was the guy doing something on purpose here or was it just inadvertent?
No, it was inadvertent. I was just skating down the shoulder and he must have been looking at his phone or I don't know. He just started veering slowly. I'm skating towards him, so I'm seeing it. And I noticed, yeah, he wasn't adjusting. So last minute, just kind of jumped off my board into the grass.
Sure.
And, yeah. Just got,
bail out and live. I understand the impulse. You ran out of water in the desert. What was that like?
It was interesting because right when I basically ran out, a bunch of people happened to be passing by this one landmark, like in like, I don't know, 60-mile stretch or something. There was nothing around. And people were just stopping and they gave me a bunch of bottles of water. Someone gave me banana bread, like a Coke. So people just passing by, everyone was so nice. And on the whole trip, really, everyone was just willing to lend a hand.
Well, did they understand what you were doing insofar as trying to establish a record and going across America on this board?
I would get to it, but really, like, they would just see me sweating there, and I would walk up to them and just ask if, you know, they had water, or sometimes they would just see me. It depends. People would just be driving by and stop randomly and just ask if I wanted water or a ride.
Well, you know, you've sort of represented skateboarders proudly here. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment. However long it was, my guess, over 3,500 miles, wouldn't it be?
I was a little over 3,100.
Okay, well, I was all around the net. Nonetheless, that's still quite the accomplishment. Congratulations. I don't know if you can monetize this or anything. It was just an accomplishment you wanted to do for your own sake, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing YouTube for like 7 years, and I just enjoy making the videos and pushing myself and sharing everything I've learned in skateboarding over the course of 20 years I've been doing it.
Well, you taught us a lot this afternoon, just in terms of, you know, this accomplishment, quite a feat. The intrepid skateboarder Chad Caruso. He skateboarded across America. Now you know. Hey, Chad, good to talk. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Listen to the John Oakley Show live each weekday afternoon from 3 until 6. If you live in the Toronto area, just turn that AM dial to 640 and listen anywhere on Earth 24 hours a day by going to 640toronto.com. Follow on Twitter at AM640Oakley. You've been listening to A Curious Cast. New podcasts and shows are debuting all the time. So check back often to see what's new in the Curious Cast library.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.